Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is my favorite time of week, 9:25 Friday morning. We get to talk to Ian McNulty about food and dining in New Orleans. He writes for it, covers it for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, some other outlets as well. And I know it's the end of the week, and it gets me all ready to eat and drink. How you doing, Ian McNulty?
Glad to be on board with you once again on this crazy pirate ship that we're steering into the weekend, Tommy. It feels good.
This wacky thing we call life, huh?
Yes, that's right. We missed you last week at the Louisiana Crawfish Championships in Marrero. It was a grand time. Staggered out of that, the judging booth there with a belly full of crawfish and sausage and potatoes and corn. A lot of good feelings for the heart and soul that the people around there put into all that work as a fundraiser for their church community. It was really awesome. But it's a new weekend, and this time of year, you know what that means. The new fest, Hogs for the Cause, is going down starting today out in the UNO Lakefront Arena, the grounds around there outside. And that's always a fantastic time. So that kicks off later today and continues tomorrow.
A great cause, pediatric brain cancer, I think, right?
Amazing. Yeah. The story of this is incredible. So it was 15 years ago that they started Hogs for the Cause. It's not exactly the 15th edition because they missed one in COVID. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you go on the rewind machine, which is mind-blowing to me sometimes, but it was 3 years ago, right around now that that COVID was really coming down on us, and Pogs was one of the first events that had to cancel. And at the time, it was sort of this vexing thing. Well, how are they going to cancel? And looking back at it now, like, yeah, to cancel. Oh my God! Once we realized just how big this was going to be. But suffice to say, 15 years ago, this thing started out with just two guys, two local friends, Becker Hall and Renee Luop, who decided, they wanted to do something for a local family they knew, the family of very young Ben Surratt Jr., who had an inoperable brain tumor at age, I believe, 5. I mean, just imagine the horror, just how horrible, horrible that is for a family to go through. And they rallied for him, and they got a pig, and they charged, they put around a hat, and they wanted to raise $2,000, and they did, and they thought, well, this is good, but we're not really good at cooking, it turns out. They had a heck of a time trying to roast that pig. And so they recruited some friends to say, maybe you want to start this competitive cook-off. And year two, they had 27 teams out there. They raised a lot more money, and then the ball was rolling. And now flash forward to this weekend, 90 different teams. This event raises somewhere north of $2 million a year, and Hogs for the Cause has become the leading funder for its particular cause, for supporting the families of going through pediatric brain cancer. Like, so it's grants and support for the families as they go through this. And for the upshot as an event is that it is really different and special. It is different from any other food festival I've ever attended because of the nature of it runs through these teams. So these teams, Tommy, they've developed into these, like, clubs or tribes. They have their own flags that fly off the members' homes. They have their own swag and logos and belt buckles and koozies and everything, and they set up camps out there on the grounds of the event. They start building these things days out. They're all there now. They're probably putting the final touches on them as we speak, and when you enter the grounds, it is like this campus of these different camps, and some of them are pretty basic. You get a typical festival event tent, and some of them are like these Hollywood worthy creations that they build just for the weekend with different themes. Like, some of them look like German beer gardens or a Chinese pagoda or just this party palace, or like somebody's hunting camp, like picked up from the marsh and moved to the lakefront. It's wild. And you take in the whole scene. Each one of these camps, they're cooking lots of different dishes. They're there's the cook-off. They're making the whole hog barbecue to compete with. The official judges get that. But what you get as somebody who's just going to the festival is you wander around, you get these dishes that they're selling individually, all that money going into the cause. And they're being really creative to draw your attention, to catch your eye. It's a lot of meat, not exclusively meat, but it's an extremely meaty event. Hello, Lent.
I didn't think about that. Hey, you know what? Look, if you could give a dispensation for St. Patrick's Day, Ian, in my exultant Catholic, is that a word?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Power, I'm granting a dispensation if you want to eat meat at Hogs for the Cause, because what better cause could you have than fighting pediatric brain cancer? So here, by the power invested in me, I hereby grant a dispensation. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, there you go.
That's a dispensation. Yeah. You can eat meat. It's all right. No harm, no foul.
Tommy Tucker said so. Take it up with your spiritual
Father,
advisor.
Tommy yeah, no, Tucker. Archbishop
brother.
Tommy Tucker said that. Cardinal.
I'm stopping here.
Cardinal Tommy Tucker said that.
The hubris.
Yes, the hubris. It's out of control. Next thing I'll be wearing
last,
the metal hat.
One last note is just, so if you go, what you're going to find is it's a lot of, I mean, the cause is dead serious, obviously, but the it's a very fun environment. It is basically this southern never land that they construct for the weekend out there of wood smoke and beverages and live music and great pork dishes and a lot of camaraderie and competition. And just, it's, the teams are fun. They're funny. They've been out there all day. And I tell you, it's an interesting 2-day scene, because if you go out there tonight, everything's fresh, everyone's partying. Tonight's kind of the big party night. They're competing for dishes that are made with bacon and chicken wings. So if you like bacon and chicken wings, this is like Valhalla for that. Then in the back, they're cooking the hogs all night for tomorrow. So this is like an overnight kind of thing. And you can imagine there's ice chests involved, obviously. And if you show up early on Saturday, the day that the judging goes down and everything, the second day of the event begins, it's a whole different scene. I mean, people have been up partying all night. There's smoke rising from these campsites. Sometimes you see these bodies of revelers in sort of these disjointed positions all around. It's like the opening of a Ken Burns Civil War documentary.
I was just going to say that, or maybe like a King Arthur thing or something. After they've been a medieval battlefield, the smoke's all over and it's misty, and they got bodies lying here and there, because they drink it up pretty good tonight, don't they?
It's pretty good, yeah. You just hear the Ken Burns narrator go, you know, "My dearest Meredith, it has been a fortnight since I have seen your sweet face, and here we are battling against the hog and the kegs, and I think the kegs are winning, my sweetest. If I do not see you here, it shall be," you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, it's fun. Hogs the Cause is a lot of fun.
Tell me for people that are wondering, time. Ian, yeah. You know, some people might think it's like, oh, you know, chicken barbecue sauce and all that stuff, and that's all there is to it, but that is not the case at all.
No. I always struggle with how to describe the dishes year to year, because they change so much, and that's kind of the fun of it.
But give us some examples, too, if you would.
Oh, like things I've had out there in the past have been a sandwich where the bread was not bread, but breaded pork cutlets sandwiched around the filling. There's crackling galore. There are whole, not just chicken wings, but like whole chicken legs, like medieval fair style. There actually are some things that aren't strictly meat based. I have had a grilled avocado there filled with salsa and a couple sauces that was just terrific. Just, you know, using the grill, using the smoker to transform some different stuff. Really good. But honestly, the fun to me is like wandering around and seeing what they come up with year to year, and seeing what catches your eye and what's going to find. There are like hundreds of dishes out there, Tommy, so you can't eat them all. So you have to be kind of selective about what you're going to pick. Then that's where the competition to catch people's eye comes in, and that's what makes it a little bit of a culinary stunt show, if we can.
All right, got some text coming in here, 504-260-1870. We'll take a break and pick it up when we come back. Somebody's looking for the best muffalata in town, which is an interesting question. Somebody else, coincidentally, wants to know about Central Grocery and getting a muffalata or at least their muffalata. I don't think they're open, but we'll find out from Ian McNulty when we come back. You got any food or drink questions, 504-260-1870. Somebody else wants to know, where is a good spot to get barbecue in the city if you don't want to go to the festival, since we're talking about it? And then somebody texting in, shout out to my friend Scott with Pork Chopatulas. 9:35, 25 till 10, traffic now, WWL. Springsteen with really the soundtrack for your life with Glory Days, 941, 19 till 10, WWL. Tommy Tucker talking to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining for the Times-Picayune. All righty, well, somebody asked about muffalatas, Ian, and then somebody else, sure, the best muffalata in the city, somebody else asked about Central Grocery. So what's going on with them,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, let's talk about that for real quick here. They've been closed. The Central Grocery location on Decatur Street was absolutely crushed by a falling wall after Hurricane Ida. And they're rebuilding, but it's taking a long time. I mean, it's a complete rebuild of that building down there on Decatur Street. But the good news is those muffalatas are readily available. For instance, right next door, there's Sydney's, which is a little, you know, liquor store kind of thing there. They sell them right next door. So the people, you know, tourists especially, who didn't get the message and are walking along, they grab one to go right there. But all over town.
Wait, they sell the same one?
It's the same, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Central Grocery is still, they're still making them. They've got a facility off-site where their employees are still working. They're making these muffalatas. I know they sell a ton of them at Zappardo's. I just saw some in there when I was doing a story with Jason Sider. Shout out to Sider Seafood. Yeah, it's good. They're in the deli right there. Over on the North Shore, Acquista Paces. I've seen them at Rouse's on Barone Street, the one downtown at least. I've definitely seen them there.
You're talking about Central Grocery muffalatas at those places.
I'm talking specifically Central Grocery muffalatas. Yeah, and the interesting thing is, like, Zappardo, Rouse's, they make their own muffalata. Mm-hmm. But they also have these packaged, wrapped, this is the Central Grocery branded muffalata. So there's that. And also, there's a website called Good Belly, which specializes in shipping specialty food from restaurants around the country to people. So you can, if you want to just click and mail it to somebody who doesn't live around New Orleans, that's another way to do it. I've done that and pretty much lit up people's birthdays and such far afield across the country with one of those orders.
Good Belly or Golden Belly?
Excuse me, it's called Good Belly.
Okay.
Good Belly. But to muffalatas more generally, there's a lot of good ones out there. I have to say, I love the one they're doing at Napoleon House these days. Napoleon House in the French Quarter has been known for their muffalata for a long time. But since the Ralph Brennan Group took over a few years back and they deployed the talents of a certain Chris Montero, the chef there, they've really upped it. I mean, they haven't done anything revolutionary to it. It's a traditional muffalata, but the bread, the quality of the meats, it's just through the roof. I really like the muffalatas at DeMartino's. That's a brand. They've got a couple locations in the West Bank, and there's one on the North Shore, too, in Covington. It's just a really good muffalata. I like Norjo's in Metairie, which is that Italian market right by the tracks in Old Metairie. And World Deli out in Clearview, that's a really good one, too. And don't forget about the Frenchalata, which is a little twist.
I love
product,
that.
Of course.
At La Uses?
The muffalata on French, and La Uses on Bienville. Yeah, La Uses on Bienville, which isn't that. They changed ownership last year, but sometimes people get the wrong message when that happens. They are very much open and slinging the hot, melty Frenchalatas there on Bienville Street at La Uses.
Ice cold schooners of beer?
You know it.
You got that right. That sandwich was originated here. Developed here. Was it not the muffalata? Invented?
Yeah, I mean that's the legend. And the interesting part is it's definitely a New Orleans creation, but its roots back in Sicily are deep, and the DNA is really direct. Like there are sandwiches in Sicily. I can't draw the name to the surface at the moment, but they are. It's a similar name to muffalata, similar shape, and they're typically made with tuna packed in oil, some of the same components and the kind of the same idea of this like big hearty portable sandwich that you can pack up in the morning and last all day for the working men or the fishermen or whatever it is, and it was Carmo, the restaurant Carmo down in the CBD, he's done a lot of, the chef there's done a lot of research on kind of heritage foods and where all this stuff comes from. And, you know, he's served a version of that at the at the Po' Boy Fest, actually, of all things. He was serving a muffalata at the Po' Boy Fest that was basically the Italian predecessor to the muffalata. But no, the muffalata that we know and love here is a New Orleans thing, but much like people of Italian descent in New Orleans can trace their heritage pretty clearly back to specific villages and whatnot, you can do that with the muffalata. You know, like if you're a muffalata, you have some pretty close relatives back in the old country in the sandwich realm there.
I don't mean to cause a problem here. I like you, but, you know, there is a big divide when it comes to muffalatas. Do you eat it cold or do you eat it hot?
Oh, yeah. No, that that is a big divide.
I'm a melted cheese guy. I like it hot, yeah. I got to tell you.
Yeah, it gets the juices going on the meats, too. But I think the happy medium is this, tempered, okay? Not cold, specifically. I don't want a specifically a cold muffalata, like right out of the fridge or the deli case. If it's not hot, that's okay, but I want it like a good, you know, basically what is a muffalata? It's like basically an antipasto platter on bread, right? Mm-hmm. You've got all your meats, the cheeses, your olives, the pickly stuff and the olive oil and all that. And you wouldn't want your antipasto platter right out of the fridge. You want it to temper, just like good cheese, you know, like get the flavors going a little bit. And here, let's throw a little kerosene on this fire that you've sparked, Thomas. Central Grocery does not heat their muffalata.
No.
Famously, do not do that. But now that they're distributed in different places,
do what you want.
Other people will. Zapardo's will. They will take the Central Grocery muffalata that they are stocking and made by Central Grocery, but stocked in their deli case. They will open it up, the packaging, and they will put it in the little pizza oven in the deli, and they will heat it through, and they will put it back together for you and wrap it back up and hand it to you, and you have a hot Central Grocery muffalata that you just purchased. And to some, I know, sacrilege, but, hey, these are changing times. And I know Joseph Zapardo out there, he showed me that, and that's the way he likes to do it. So you never know what happens when the recipes get out there into the public, you know?
I love muffalatas, and my ex-wife used to make an excellent one, believe it or not. She really did. Outstanding. What's good at Central City Barbecue? Somebody texted in.
Everything. Literally. But, yeah, I go with two or three people and order just about everything. You know, fill up one of those big platters. The burnt ends are especially good. There was a question about barbecue just before the break.
Yeah.
And
barbecue
I did a little
places
thing
in the city. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, specifically in the city, it's a great time for that. There's a new place that just opened, and you know, I usually give new places a little time to settle in, especially with something like barbecue. But this place, Devil Moon Barbecue, is off to a roaring start. The guy who's running the smokers there, Shannon Bingham, he's got a great track record and good reputation around town, and he's proven it there. Devil Moon, it's in CBD, in that South Market development. It's basically like right across the street from the Hyatt and that Superdome Smoothie King complex. So it's like right on route to all the entertainment venues there, and it's really, really good, especially like the turkey. I mean, the smoked turkey, it's really good. But he's doing more of working in a lot more Louisiana flavors too, which you see in the different sausages they're making and the sides, like dirty rice and chicken sauce piquant and stuff like that. But also in the city, you mentioned Central City Barbecue, Blue Oak over on Carrollton, always fantastic and a lot of fun. They have a great happy hour there. The Joint, down in the Bywater, Royal Street. It's been there for a long, long time. Probably one of the first ones to really kind of turn the page for barbecue in New Orleans back pre-Katrina. But then all around the area, I mean, up at the North Shore, you got two locations of Pyre now. Chef Jeff Mattia, he's a big Hogs for the Cause guy. I believe he'll be out there with his team this weekend. But if not, he's had a good track record at Hogs for the Cause. But he's got a couple of restaurants up there now, one in Covington, one in Mandeville, under the name Pyre, P-Y-R-E, as in the pyre that you build to slowly smoke your pig. And that's tasty. And then one place was a little off the radar, but LA 23 Barbecue. It's in Bell Chase, right by you, Tommy.
You got that right. I know where that is. Delicious.
Yeah, it's right outside the gates of the air station there, and it's the clientele is the air station, the nearby plants, and and that's barbecue country. I came back from a fishing trip recently. It was coming back up from Venice. It was still breakfast time. I rolled in there, had brisket tacos and a brisket burrito, and sat there on a foggy morning next to the gravel of a railroad track with the levee rising and a ship, the top of a cargo ship visible just over the levee top with the smoke coming out of the smoker, and thought, yep, this is pretty much central casting country, Louisiana country barbecue right here, just in Belchase.
Look across the street, you can see a mounted jet, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
All right, so let's talk about, before we let you go, you mentioned barbecue. I'm thinking Couchon de Lait Po' Boy, Jazz Fest vendors announced. Who's in, who's out?
That was big day today. This is the month out from Jazz Fest. They do the big reveal. The big thing that they announced was that the Jazz Fest is going cashless, meaning that all the vendors will take cards. And they have, you can see the details in the story that my colleague Keith Spear wrote on NOLA.com. They have a couple workarounds if you don't happen to have a credit card, like you can get cash and get a temporary card and all that stuff. But generally speaking, you're going to walk up to these booths with your card and bing, and there it goes. This definitely caused a lot of speculation, like, are people going to go for this or not? But the upshot is most of the vendors that I consider the kind of the marquee dishes of Jazz Fest are there. The big exception that we talked about earlier was crawfish bread. The vendor for that, who's based up in outside of Alexandria, he's just calling it a career. It's been 35 years, and he said he was getting older, and the costs are going up, and these changes with how they're doing things, maybe that was the final nudge. And Tommy, frankly, I was very nervous. I thought, okay, when they reveal the Jazz Fest food vendor list, is going to be some shocking omissions, but it's really not. And the ones that I talked to who aren't making it, they want to come back. And the ones that I spoke with, they all had some pretty compelling reason this year for not doing it. And it wasn't the cashless thing. It was, one guy, the guy does the crackling. He says his costs are out of control. He can't manage to serve an affordable bag of crackling at the minute. Somebody else is contending with cancer and taking care of herself. And so she hopes to be back next year. So just, keep that's Marie's Sugar Dumplings. Keep her in your thoughts. Another one, Jamila's. I'm really going to miss them this year. They do the crawfish zucchini spinach bisque and the merguez lamb sausage. Well, they have a small restaurant on Maple Street, which is fantastic and wonderful and just this den of hospitality when you go there. But this is a mom and pop, and for them to mount the effort to do Jazz Fest, they work well in advance, and they use their home as a prep and storage area. And guess what? Their house at Broadmoor is on a block that has been utterly ripped up by road construction and has been stalled like that for a very, very long time. And they tell me they just can't do it. They can't get the trucks and they can't get the equipment rolling because of the road condition. And so they're bowing out this year, which is crazy to me. But Jamila's will be missed, and I hope they come back.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always. You are a gentleman, a scholar, and a food critic. Well, I don't know if you're a critic. You just like to eat.
I like to eat. Job description right there.
There you go.
Don't
Thank
forget
you.
Drink.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, don't forget drink. Ian McNulty.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.